This morning's scripture reading will come from the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 2. Again, that is Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 2. And it reads, "Then all the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'"
Good morning. It is good to be with you this morning. Thank you for your presence. It has been encouraging to be here already, and look forward to our time remaining together. Keep your Bibles open to Luke 15. Luke 15 is going to be our text together this morning, so we'll be using that really frequently for the time that we have studying together. Thanks for being here to our guest especially. I know some of you are traveling through. Some of you are from the community. You've encouraged us by being here. And Dennis made a few comments about the things that we hope that you find to be about us. And if that's not the case, certainly would ask you to come and talk to us and help us to make sure that we're meeting our needs as God's people to not only worship Him, but also to encourage one another in our assembly together. And certainly thankful for Richard's prayer as well, that God is our audience today. And we certainly are prayerful that He has been pleased with what we do and with what we say this morning. In Luke chapter 15, as Keith just read for us, we have a rather familiar theme, recurring theme of sorts in the New Testament, where the Pharisees and scribes are critical of Jesus. They judged Him often, and in this text, they bring up an argument or a criticism that they had made several times in Scripture. In fact, in Luke chapter 5, in verses 30 through 31, it said that the Pharisees and scribes grumbled at His disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them at that time by saying, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Later on in Luke chapter 19, He'll go to the house of a man named Zacchaeus. And as He prepares to go there, the Pharisees, when they see it, they grumble, "He's gone to be at the house of a sinner." That was in Luke 19 and verse 7. And in between those two stories is what we find in Luke chapter 15. Here again is the criticism in the first two verses that Keith just read. This man is spending time with sinners. He's eating with them, these tax collectors and these sinners. And in this story, Jesus answers with three stories. He answers with three stories about the lost who've been found. And in these three stories, what He really is talking about is the joy in heaven over that which is lost being found. Because obviously the Pharisees didn't understand the same things about the lost that God felt. They didn't see the return of the lost with the same joy and celebration that God saw it with. And so these three stories illustrate that. But these three stories illustrate something else. And that's what I want to look at this morning with you. These three stories also illustrate how someone can be lost. In fact, in these three parables, we're going to see four different ways somebody can be lost. And the lesson for us could be twofold. First of all, it could be causing us here this morning to examine ourselves. Are we lost? And if so, which of these four are we? And what that would leave you with this morning is if you're in one of those four states, one who's lost, then I would tell you that I hope you see the overall message is you can be found by God this morning if you will come to Him. But secondly, if we're not lost, we may see that we could contribute to the lost in some of these ways if we're not careful. The first of these ways is that there are some who are lost through their own negligence. Some who are lost through their own negligence. Jesus makes this point in the first of the three stories. Read with me starting in verse 4. He tells them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who needs no repentance." the sheep in Jesus' story is lost because he is negligent himself. He has wandered away from the fold. It was the sheep's job to follow the shepherd. And they did that as a flock. And yet when a sheep wandered away, perhaps he just got distracted by something. Or maybe he saw something and was curious. But when that happens, whatever the case, the sheep wandered away and became lost. For those of us who have pets, we have a dog who particularly is like this. Max seems to want to leave the backyard. If there's a hole in the fence, he's going to find it. Now, sometimes he comes home on his own, but there's been more than one occasion where we're out roaming the streets at all hours of the day and driving around trying to find our dog because of his own negligence, and partly mine for not patching the hole quick enough, I guess, he has left the confines of his home. Isn't that true of people today, though? I mean, Hebrews 2 says in verses 1 through 3, therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. I want you to notice that. If you underline, circle, star, highlight, do all that in your Bible right there, that phrase, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received the just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord and attested to those of us who heard. Here's what the Hebrew writer is saying. The message is true. We know that the gospel is true. We know that it says that we can be saved and that it delivers. And so once we know that, what happens when we drift away? Well, when we drift away, we've neglected our salvation. And we will be lost by negligence on our own part. It's similar to that third soil in Luke chapter 8 in the parable of the soils. He told that parable in verses 5 through 8. A sower went out to sow seed in the field. As he sowed, some fell among the path that was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Verse 6, some fell on the rock, and it grew up and withered away because it had no moisture. Verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and it choked it. Verse 8, some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said these things, he called out, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Notice in verse 14 how he explains the thorns. As for those who fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. These are people who out of their own negligence, they know the truth, but their own negligence in response to life and truth and balancing faith, they have been lost. I got to tell you, there's a number of ways we see that today. The person who says, well, we're not able to make it to church this week. We're just too busy and tired. Or the person says, well, I know I need to get back in church, but you just don't know how difficult my life is. Really busy. Kids are so busy with sports. And I tell you, and work and wife's working. And I tell you what, preacher, you just don't understand. Sunday is the only day we have for our family. All the cares of this world are going to cause them to be negligent of their salvation. And those excuses offered up here on earth possibly might not work on Judgment Day. Don't be negligent. Some are lost through the negligence of others. I think that's what the second story says. In Luke 15 and verses 8 through 10, what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I'd lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. How did that coin get lost, that inanimate object? Well, the woman lost it. It wasn't the coin's fault. I don't know how your house works. I know how mine works, and we go through this all the time about inanimate objects. And this is where I'm going to shock some of you. I'm going to show good judgment today. I'm not going to talk about my wife, Duane, and how the keys are always lost, but instead I'm going to talk about my son. Did y'all get that, by the way? Just last week, we're running late for football practice. And Peyton gets in the car and his mouthpiece is missing from his helmet. And I say, well, where's it at? Well, it fell off in the field, but I picked it up and it's upstairs in my room, but then I saw it in the hallway. Well, go in and find it. Well, 3 minutes later, he comes out, no mouthpiece. So I drop him off and I got to run to the store and get a mouthpiece and run back and all that. Next morning, he comes back, here's my mouthpiece, Dad. Where was it? It was in my shorts where I put it. Wait a minute. I thought you said it was on the field, then it was in your room, then somebody moved it in the hallway, and it was misplaced, but it was in your shorts in the pocket where you put it all along. Yep. Isn't it funny how whenever we lose something, it's not really our fault, right? I'm not telling you all the explanation about how somebody moved the mouthpiece. Of course, the conversation after that. You know, I'm amazed that that mouthpiece could travel from your shorts to the bedroom to the hallway and back to your shorts without you ever being able to find it. That's how things are. But see, the reality is that's not how it works. The woman lost the coin. Peyton lost his mouthpiece. I lose Duane's keys. That's how it works. Y'all got that right? You know, today that's how it is too. Is there are some people who are lost, quite frankly, because we are not doing our job. Mark 16 and verse 15 says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It is our job to teach. And that passage is not written to preachers, it's written to disciples. And if you're a follower of Christ, that's our job. But can I tell you, that's not our only job, because I think sometimes we do that job somewhat okay, but then we have a job beyond that. We have to continue on even after we've taught them how to become a Christian. Ephesians 4 and verses 15 through 16 says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It is our job to work together so that we all grow up in love. You see, we don't just stop teaching and encouraging and keeping someone saved by just showing them the gospel. We have to work past that. Let me illustrate that this way. Let's say that you saw Logan and Stephanie Owens show up one morning without Cooper or Summer. Neither one of them are here. And you might go up, and Summer's just a very young infant, and Cooper's a young toddler, and you might go up and say, hey, does your parents have the kids? No, we just left them at home. You left them at home? Yeah, we told Summer and Cooper where the diapers were and where the formula was and everything. We told me back a couple hours we were going to church. They'd be okay. Now, none of it, that would not be acceptable for any of us. But I got to tell you, that's what we do with Christians sometimes. We bring somebody to Christ, they're babes, we convert them, and then we say, good job, you're an infant, we'll see you later. There's your Bible, go feed yourself. See, it's our job sometimes to make sure that we continue to work with each other. Don't be negligent after the fact either. We're supposed to love one another, John 13 says. By this the world will know you're my disciples, that you have love for one another. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens, Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we don't do those things, some of our brethren could drift away because of our negligence. They're lost because of us. And then there are some who are lost because, quite frankly, they choose to be lost. Isn't that the story of the prodigal son? You start in verse 11 and it says, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that's coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, verse 13, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country, and he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he'd spent everything, a famine rose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. This young man is lost. It's called the parable of the lost son. But he is lost because he chose to be lost. He went to the father and said, "Give me what's mine. I'm leaving. I'm out of here." And I have to tell you what the reality is that some people do that in life. Now, the rest of the story is in verse 17. It says, when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father while he was still a long way off. His father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.'" I got to tell you, I've played the role of the lost son. There's been times in my life that I've looked at God and I said, "You know what? I don't want to do that stuff anymore. I'm going to take my inheritance, life, and I'm going to go and do my own thing. And I'm going to go off to a far-off country, and I'm going to do what I want to do," until one day I woke up and realized I was separated from God. But I was in that condition not because of negligence of myself or someone else, but quite frankly because I chose to go follow the passions of this world rather than God. Here's the good news. That what we read starting there, picking back up in verse 22. The father says to the servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his head and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate, for my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. The good news is that when I choose to be lost, if I will choose to come back home in humility and repentance to the Father, He will accept me back. I can choose to come back. But I was in that lost condition because of the choice. Now you're looking at that and you go, "Well, I thought you said four. There's only three stories." There are. The fourth one is some people are lost because of their attitude. Look at the end of this story about the brother starting in verse 25. Read through the end of the chapter. Now his older brother, his older son, was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, "Your brother has come and your father's killed the fattened calf because he received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I've served you and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." This older son has a heart problem. His brother comes home, and rather than seeing the return in the same way that the father does, he responds in anger. He has an attitude problem. "Look at all these years. I've never disobeyed you. I've done all that you said. I've been here slaving for you. You never did this for me." Do you realize that that older son is a direct answer to the first two verses that Keith read to us? The older son here is supposed to tell the Pharisees, "Wake up. You're the ones that keep standing around and saying, 'Well, look at Jesus. He's in there eating and celebrating with sinners.'" And God's lesson is, "Well, of course he is. He's rejoicing their return." The Pharisees would not rejoice in the return of the sinners and the tax collectors who came to Jesus to hear the words of eternal life. In fact, much like the older son, they would not even humble themselves to go in to the same place where Jesus was eating with the tax collectors and sinners who had asked for the words of eternal life. And the result is pretty clear then. Those Pharisees were lost because of their attitude. And the same could be true of us as well. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 14 and 15. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive them their trespasses, neither will their Father forgive you your trespasses. We've got to forgive other people if we're going to be forgiven. If you have a bad attitude where you won't forgive somebody, you'll be lost because of that. Not only that, but we're supposed to love the brethren. In fact, John said, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he's not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must love his brother. And might I remind you of the judgment scene in Matthew 25, there in about verses 31 through 46, where Jesus divides the people from the left and the right. And what does he divide them on? How they treated other people, their attitude towards others. When Jesus says, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me. They said, when do we do that? When you did it to the least. See, the point of that text was they would have done it if it was Jesus, but their attitude towards those who were lower than themselves, they had no use of doing that. What I want you to understand this morning is you can be lost because of your negligence or the negligence of others. You can be lost because you choose to be lost. But you can also be lost because your relationship with other people isn't what it should be like. The point is, our relationship with others has an impact on our relationship with God. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know where you're at in the journey of life. But I do know this. I do know that the great part of this chapter is that if you are lost this morning, God is waiting for you to be found. The story of the prodigal son, this beautiful picture of a weary, journeyed child returning home in humility, that as soon as he pops his head across the horizon, the father rushes to meet him. And he embraces him. Probably more accurately translated, he tackles him. And he kisses him. Feels compassion for him and he calls for a celebration. That's the picture that Jesus wants you to see in this parable about your return this morning if you're lost right now. That if you're lost, God is waiting for you to essentially, in our terms, step out into the aisle and come down so that He can embrace you. If you're not a Christian, you've never put on Christ through the obedience of the gospel, you've been negligent in that, once you become one this morning, you believe in Jesus and what He's done for you, will you change your life instead of living for yourself? Will you live for God? Will you confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized, immersed, rising up a new creature? If you've not done that, don't be negligent any longer. Do that this morning. Maybe you've done that, but after you did that, you chose to be a child of God. You then chose to leave and be lost. Won't you choose to come back home? 1 John 1:9 says that if you'll just confess your sins to the Father, He'll forgive you. If you need to do that publicly this morning, one of our elders will pray with you and with us, and you will be forgiven. If you're lost, won't you be found? We'd encourage you to do so this morning by just simply coming forward while we stand and while we sing this song.
While we pray and while we plead, while you see.